Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 496. This is week 8 of home isolation and quarantine. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
What?
Yeah. Where are you, Tony?
What's happening?
Find a way out. Earl is here.
Howdy.
And Jeff has he is sleepy. He is tired, so he is not joining us, but we brought back our good buddy Walt.
Hey guys, how's it going? I saw a bird today and I looked at him and I said, "I'm jealous of you, bird. I wish I could fly away."
We have big problems.
So many problems.
Walt is talking to birds.
Just real quick, pop quiz. Without naming Gears or Madden, can you name two games that were in the Xbox show today?
Yeah.
What were they?
Well, Gears wasn't in it, was it?
I mean, that's no. Assassin's Creed. Sorry.
Assassin's Creed. Two games. Bloodline, Vampire Masquerade, Bloodlines 2.
I was gonna say that one.
And Scorn.
Okay. I'll add medium to that mix too.
The medium.
How about the medium? My first is medium.
I did not look at my list that I wrote down, but I can look at that now if you want.
I'm just curious because I was like getting ready for this podcast and I'm like, I actually don't remember what actually was announced today.
Yeah.
I will say out of all of those, the only I liked a good amount of what was shown, but I will only buy Assassin's Creed and Vampire the Masquerade when they launch. Everything else is if it shows up on Game Pass or is, you know, on sale.
Yeah, I think Assassin's Creed is in a good position to be a day one purchase, right, for the new Series X, along with Halo, you know. So but medium has been attention because it's a composer for Silent Hill. He makes fantastic music, and it looks like it's a good team of like the guys who did Layers of Fear and some people who came from the Silent Hill team too. So that might actually be like a spiritual successor we've been waiting for, you know, for all those Silent Hill diehard fans like me who are like disappointed after Silent Hill 3 that they couldn't find their way and then. They canceled that demo. What was the name of the demo, guys? The
wasn't it just Silent Hills?
No. The PT.
That was the PT. Yeah. It was going to be the game was going to be called Silent Hills.
Yeah. My brother is still very protective of his PlayStation because he still has it installed. He has it installed, and you know he still has it installed. And he's like, "Oh man, this hard drive fails. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do." But it's a. That kind of like got my attention, but that was like an off, you know, around the corner thing. I think the whole blueprint of being the like that Nintendo kind of direct where it's just like bam, 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 bam. It's over, you know. I think that fell flat. I think people want to see the console. They want to see price points. They want to see everything today, you know.
And I don't mind a Nintendo Direct format. I think the problem was just really not having. It's not what you do for your first. It's not what you do for your system launch or reveal because this is the first time we're seeing actually a like gameplay, and to have it be that thing is just like, no, this isn't what we wanted. We wanted to see actual gameplay. We wanted to know what is the future of Xbox.
And based on that, you know, what half hour video. The half-hour presentation, the future of Xbox and maybe video games in general is the last 7 years.
The future is the past. It's a vicious cycle.
I think that the hard part is which honestly I think it's a two-part thing. Well, like I have a little bit of inside track to this stuff. I know for a fact that Ubi and all those guys, they're like, we don't have E3, we're gonna do our own thing. So they're holding back on a lot of like the big reveal walkthrough stuff. For their own kind of presentation, right?
Sure.
Two is I don't see Microsoft showcasing too much of the console until like July when they actually have an idea how many they're going to put in the market. You know what I mean?
I don't even mind the Jedi date. I just wish that that was what they. I think you could have gone without having this event.
And well, just, I think their marketing team is trying to push the branding out, and this event was like they worded it wrong. It should have been like get a sneak peek. That should have been it, right? Instead of like the future is now. Watch for gameplay. It should have been like, hey, sneak peek's coming up. Just a refresher, yeah. A lot more down the road. If they would have started that from the top, maybe they wouldn't have gotten all the numbers they got to that everyone was expecting something bigger today. But at least people wouldn't be like, okay, cool, I can hang out, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I think managing expectations was a big part of it because somebody pointed out like, one of the tweets they made where it's like gaming would never be the same after this event or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't show anything that's like, oh my gosh, I need a new system day one. Like, this is all great games that I'm like, if they came on the Xbox One, I might get them if they were discounted. But they're not like, oh man, I need to buy a system day and date to get these games.
And it seems like you won't have to anyway, because I think most of them are going to be cross-gen titles anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
Assassin's Creed's going to be cross-gen. Looks like Vampire the Masquerade's cross-gen, Madden cross-gen. They kept pushing that smart delivery.
Yeah, and it's a double-edged sword because yes, it's like oh man, we can upgrade this game for free, but it's also just like you said, it's like oh, then I don't actually need to get this year, right? Because if I get it next year, I get some of these games. I'll get anyhow in the next-gen system.
Right, and they're gonna run into that issue, I think, even with their big reveal, because yeah, you know, Halo Infinite's gonna launch with the system, but you can also buy that on Xbox One.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think that's something that hopefully they can showcase, right? It's actually what the console itself is gonna offer,
right? And I don't think that. This presentation did.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where the marketing was wrong. I would have been like, hey, get a sneak peek of what's to come this year, right? This is first of many. I would have said that, right? I would even said like, I would even number it. I was like, this is the first of four this year that we're going to slowly review and give you everything you need about this console. Because from everything I've heard and everything, I think they previewed some of this too. The technology behind it is the selling point. The fact that you can... It suspends games on the fly. You can switch between games. You don't have to wait for it to load. Nothing. Just literally just go like if you're doing Alt Tab on a computer, you know, but you have multiple games.
Like that's
like
that's
what... load times. You need to show that. You need to let people experience it because that's the shocking stuff for the next gen consoles is that it's going to be on the fly, you know?
But that is so hard to visualize and actually articulate. So if that is the selling point, I do think you need... And I wonder how many people that's a selling point for.
Well, this is absolutely a one of those perspective where it's like, here's how it runs on the Xbox, here's how it's running on a 1X, and here's running on the Series X, and here's running on PC. Because when the games are going to run in the Series X, they're not going to be limited to 60 frames per second. And I think that's a first for a console, if my memory kind of serves right, you know? And those are the little things that people who are like casual PC gamers might be like, hey, you know, maybe I need this, you know, and there might be a giant percentage or not. Right. There may be a person who games on a console and they're like, hey, I don't want to run this game without draw distance or load times. Maybe I'll jump into the next one. You know what I mean? I'll upgrade. But then, like, again, like you said, that's so hard to showcase. You know,
and I don't know about you guys. We all watched it, but that, you know, they said like, "Hey, these are, you know, gameplay," and maybe it was a lot of gameplay. Like they definitely showed stuff that could be gameplay, but it was so like quickly cut. Like they were all like flashy trailers.
I did take that. I don't know if you folks were. I don't know where you watched, and I don't know if it was the Xbox One or the Jeff Keighley thing. But at some point, it was like a note on the screen, a giant note on the screen. It's like, gameplay does not mean in-game footage. And I'm like, wait, then
And what does it mean exactly? That doesn't make any sense.
But again, this is on par with what Ubisoft does. Remember, if you look back to E3s and stuff, they give Microsoft, Sony, like the flashy stuff, and then the actual.
Oh, I know they give the walkthrough.
It's for their presentations, you know.
But again, it's always about marketing. And when Ubisoft themselves and Microsoft said this, it's like you're gonna see actual in-game footage, or you're gonna see gameplay footage, and it's like. Yes, but it's like it's that weird gameplay where it's like we're gonna take a camera angle that you're not gonna actually get ever in the game, and we're going to give this to you, and it's gonna count, right?
Right.
And I get what they're going for, but yeah, with that Ubisoft saying, like, "Oh, you're going to see the first," and like, I forget if it's gameplay or in-game footage of Assassin's Creed, and then it's like this thing where it's like, yes, it's footage. I don't know if it's in-game. And it's just it's bewildering to people. And I think for me, the big issue is, one, I don't think any of these games are interesting enough on their own to kind of be like, this is what we're rolling our system with. But I think it's just it's been a really odd PR scheme with all the, like, the PlayStation and the Xbox, where this is like the third or fourth reveal we've had for either one of them. And it feels like I earn less and less each time they talk about it. Because I saw those games, and I'm like, I don't really see that huge leap you sometimes see with those big reveal games. You're like, oh yeah, this is why I need this system.
Yeah. For sure. It's. I mean, I don't envy the marketing department, you know, because you can't really, it's not something you can win until people have their hands on it, you know? Or until you drop the price point, and that's honestly the price point's gonna be the big thing. Once the price point is in place in a release date, then that's the countdown begins, right? Then it's just a matter of showcasing as much as you can and getting the consoles to the hands of people who can do all the comparisons and all that stuff that people love to fucking dig through on the internet. Like right now, the best you can do is what Microsoft is doing, where it's like, hey, here's some that these are confirmed. These are all at one point gonna be running on Series X. And come July, we're gonna show you our first party studios, you know, Microsoft Studios. That includes like Halo and other guys, you know? Yeah. Here's what they've been working on for the next gen console. I think that one in July is gonna potentially have the biggest impact, especially if they drop the price point right after.
And I agree with that. The problem with that is that it's been 2 years. They announced they were working on this at E3 2018. They revealed it at E3 2019. They showed us, they gave us the name and like the first game announced at the Game Awards last year. And now we're doing this thing. And it's like, okay, you've had four opportunities over 2 years. And I feel like I still don't really know what you're offering me as far as, and I should at this point, like, I know it's the next Xbox. I know it's going to have better graphics, but like, you're not showing that to me. You're not showing like what makes this worth it so far.
Yeah,
I think it's because we've reached a point with visuals where it's like you can only do so much, right? Like they do look better, but you need to see them in motion on your own television to kind of really dive into like, hey, why does HDR matter? Like HDR is not something you can kind of showcase in a YouTube video.
Or even 4K or 8K, you can show it in a YouTube video, not effectively, you know?
Yeah, so it's like you don't get to really see that level of detail until you get to try it out at home. And so it just boils down to like flashy trailers that are, they're cool, but not a whole lot of information there.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like I said, it's the same beef I have. It's not like Sony's doing much better with the PS5. Which is why it's not a big deal, because neither one of them are doing amazing with their rollout. I'm sure both systems will come out and they will be worth the wait.
Sure. I'm completely sure. So sure.
Well, the problem is that none of these are running on the real consoles yet. They're running on dev kits or PCs equivalent to it, right?
Yeah, and I think...
And that's like because of the challenge that they're doing with. There's only, like that I know of, there's only one publisher that have been pushing for work from home as a recruiting tool, and that was Ubisoft. No other publisher. I think they probably had a scramble, and as you can imagine, the files for these things have to be gigantic. So I don't know what the turnaround is for environmental artists to work on stuff and pass it back and forth. You know,
which that you know that correlates to the concern that Phil Spencer kind of put out there. He's like, look, I have no fear that the console is going to launch this year. It's like, you know, the software, we may see delays there because, you know, with this situation, you know, teams are having to work safely and in a different environment, and that may delay some stuff. So,
yeah, I suspect you're going to see a lot of patches too, like day one or the or first month of release of a game. You're going to see a lot of patches being released, you know? Because I can't imagine the QA and stuff can hold its integrity working from home so much, you know.
I think we've gotten accustomed to that in general over the past two gens, patches for day one games and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we haven't had like a super. I'm not calling Fallout 76 in this, right? But I'm not including it. But we haven't had like a super broken game that's like, you better download a patch day one or it's not working. You know,
I mean, Unity was pretty fucked.
I was going to say stuff like No Man's Sky or even Rainbow Six Siege, where it's like those became completely different game after the fact. So it's not unprecedented. But I do think it's easier when you're the console's kind of set. And again, we'll see what Sony and Microsoft offers on their own. Because like third parties, they don't really necessarily have a... There's no benefit for them to go all in on just releasing these games on one system at launch.
Yeah. I mean, the best part of this is like, I think the Xbox Live is just going to get better because of the new SSD technology. And Sony, I'm not sure if this is announced yet, but I think it's been hinted out there plenty of time. They're gonna have a feature called like demos on a fly, where if you want to try a demo, you just start it and it literally just starts. You can start playing it. It's pretty instant, you know. There's no more like, oh, the download's complete. Wait for us. We have to install it, and you have to wait an equivalent amount of time for it to install on your hard drive. They didn't like that either. They don't have fans of that in the offices, and they worked on fixing that for the next gen.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh no, I was gonna say the one thing is that sounds great on paper. I want because like even Microsoft, like I think today they were saying like, oh yeah, you know the Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, whatever it's called, is optimized for 120 frames per second, so it's not a hardware issue, it's up to date. And I'm like, yeah, people, if they can get away with 30, they're going to do 30. So it's one thing to say, like, oh, we can do this. It's another thing to get people to do it.
Right. Like, we could turn that around, like, with their smart delivery, right? Because, like, EA came out, oh, we're supporting it. You know, Madden is going to be a smart delivery game. But there's a time limit on it. So it's like developers can opt into whatever features Microsoft is and Sony are putting into their system. They're also going to play by their own rules. But, is there any other, anything else come out of that? Do you guys?
I think, you know, like, I think Walt said it was their first attempt, I think really at doing a Nintendo Direct style thing, and I think they did a decent job with it. I mean, with the technology and the limitations of what we're going through right now, with them being able to, you know, like that, the video quality is always going to suffer. Nobody's home computer is set up for a professional grade video. But you know, I thought it was cute. I thought it was nice that they leaned into people joking that the console looks like a giant fridge. And they had Aaron Greenberg having the Xbox One X as a fridge behind him. I thought that was very cute. I do think he's a bit too. Like, there's a point where you can be too enthusiastic where it kind of comes off as fake. And I think he was just on that line where it just seemed a little too over the top. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, and you know, like Walt said, I think the best thing they did is like, okay, this is just a sample. We'll be back in Jedi with a full reveal of first party titles, and they've it's not only that, but they also hinted at which first party, you know, like which first party companies you're going to see games from.
Yep, like we're, I mean, they definitely said we're going to see Halo. There was that whole little skit there with the weirdo wearing the Master Chief helmet.
Yeah, Aaron Greenberg.
I think if they all is going to be forgiven if they drop their price point in July, they show off Halo, and show a bunch of other, you know, first party stuff that makes people think like, wow, the lineup is going to be great, right? And then if and they're really going to leave people talking when they finally showcase or at least acknowledge the what do you call it, the Battle Royale aspect of the new Halo series.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. We'll see how people react to that, because people do not exchange. But yeah, I agree that I mean, my hope is that this July event will change things for the better for them, and it has to. But I felt like, as far as like what you kind of expect from this type of, here's the first actual gameplay footage from next gen, it did not come off as well as it could have.
Completely agree with that. Completely agree.
Are they doing anything in June, or is that?
I mean, as far as I know, July is the next thing.
Okay.
Cyberpunk's announced something for June. I believe Ubisoft's going to announce something soon. Everyone's going to have a little mini event.
I didn't know if Microsoft was doing another kind of direct style.
Not until July. Okay. And Sony's expected to drop a date for their event.
I mean, we're getting there. I just wish we had more news now. I know that we're in May. Like, we wouldn't be getting the real news for another month or so anyway.
It
might just be that we've been locked away for 2 months.
I think we're all kind of wanted the escapism to grab us a little better than it did today, you know?
And I think the other thing, and we've talked about this on the show countless times before, is that the rest of 2020 right now is really dry. So part of it was like, okay, what do I have to look forward to at the end of the year? And there wasn't a ton. Like, even some of the games they announced aren't 2020 titles.
Yeah. Did they have a date for? I didn't see any dates really. I don't think. But
no, I think some of them were just like they were vague, because we don't know a date for the system, which makes sense,
right?
But I think a lot of them were, 2020 or in the launch window, which is one of my favorite terms that I forget until it shows up again. Where it's like launch window. What does that mean? It could mean the first month or. I think the best one is still the Wii U, which I think the launch month was like 9 months.
9 months.
So
that counts, right?
Yeah, man.
Oh, Nintendo, love them.
I mean, I honestly don't envy the internal dialogue that's happening, where that guy on Microsoft's calling the developers. Hey, so guys, we kind of want to go stick with November. How are you guys looking? You think you have something running gold by July, maybe? So we can, you know, put together a publishing strategy. And I'm sure a lot of people are like, dude, some of that guys can only download, like, you know, 10 gigs a day. What are you talking about? You know? So it's,
we're going to have Microsoft games and Ubisoft games. It'll be fine.
So it's going to be interesting, you know?
We'll have a great console with no games.
Right.
Well, I mean, I would push the backwards compatibility could hold you together, and Game Pass will hold you together for a while, you know?
There'll be plenty of games, Tony. They're just the ones you already own.
Yeah.
Great.
But can
play Mass Effect again. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, but yeah, I might actually do that. Never mind.
Oh, well, that doesn't work as well then, does it?
Were you going to talk about the rumored remaster coming from EA?
Yes.
Is it a remaster or a remake?
We don't know any details because it's just a rumor. I'm assuming it's just a remaster. I don't see how it wouldn't be, but I guess you never know.
Because that came out of their earnings call, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's I mean, that was the, I mean, I guess the other big news of the week, it was really, it's kind of earnings week. So we got numbers, we got we talked about Microsoft last week. We got stuff from EA like that, which is mostly, I think they have 21 titles next year, and most of them are kind of known. Madden for Burnout Paradise for the Switch, some mobile titles. So it's not as super exciting, but you know, they'll still have some next gen titles, which again, I assume are Madden and stuff like that. Nintendo dropped their release. This is their quarterlies this morning, and the big story, I think, is Animal Crossing.
Did they have numbers on it?
Yes, Animal Crossing sold 13.11 million in 6 weeks.
That's insane. That's like, that's a new record.
That, I don't know. I think GTA 5 might still have, but that is an insane amount of games. Like, just to kind of, they put it into perspective, Animal Crossing New Horizon has sold more than any other entry in the franchise in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And part, I mean, there's a lot of factors to go into that. Part of it is like the last Animal Crossing, the last proper game was 7 years ago. You know, I think we saw this with Pokemon. With the mobile title, there is an increased interest in the brand come back to the, on the console side. But I mean, we not to talk about the elephant in the room, that the I think that you can't discount the fact that everybody's stuck at home for the fact that Animal Crossing had such a huge increase in sales. It carried an interest in the brand and the franchise, but I, that helped tremendously.
If I hadn't been stuck at home, I probably wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah, same here.
Same here.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, well, this is a time waster. It's something you play daily. I could use something I could play daily. makes sense.
Yeah,
and good on Nintendo.
Good on them. I mean, the other things were, you know, some big numbers for, I think, Smash Brothers Cross. I think, I mean, I could be wrong. It's the first time I think a first party system has ever had. I think they're up to like a dozen, 10 million plus sellers, which is insane to think about for any company.
Yeah, that is crazy to have first party titles.
Well, even because I can't even think of many third party. I can't think of many companies that have multi 10 million sellers.
Like Activision and Rockstar with you know GTA and Call of Duty. Maybe EA years ago with Madden
and FIFA. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
But yeah, to have, because it's Mario Kart, it's Smash Brothers, it's Zelda, it's Odyssey, it's Splatoon 2, it's Pokemon, it's Animal Crossing. It's like, yeah, to have that many lined up. And the fact that two of them were this year, or this fiscal year, is bananas to me. Because, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, again, it's, you know, like we talk about the Switch every now and then, and this, but especially when it came off from the Wii U, the Switch is going to end up having the best selling 3D Zelda, the best selling Zelda game in general,
yeah,
of all time. And I'm not going to say it does have the best selling Zelda game of all time. It's going to have the best selling Smash Brothers game. It's going to have right now the third best selling Pokemon game of all time. Because again, Pokemon Sword and Shield. I mean, Pokemon's always been an insane franchise, so I think sometimes it goes underrated. But the fact that it crossed 17 million, and Animal Crossing's the story, 17 million in, I think, 6 months? It's still an insane number. It's going to have, I think Luigi's Mansion's at 7 million. So that's the best-selling game in that franchise. Mario Super Mario Party crossed 10 million. That was the other one. Best-selling game in the franchise. So yeah, all of these games, all of these franchises that are seeing lives that they never seen before. And part of it was that they had to kill their handheld and console business in Form 1, but they're doing well for themselves.
And it's an excellent system, so. on both sides of the ball. Well, good on Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah, and I think the big minor story of it, and it's kind of something we touched on with Xbox, is like Nintendo. You know, it's their fiscal year; they announced their quarterly results, but they did give a note that, like, you know, part of the reason that we're not talking about upcoming games is like we don't know if we can actually guarantee that they'll be out when we want them to be, so we don't want to talk about them now. So yes, COVID is having an impact on a lot of different companies in a lot of different ways, and it seems like Japanese companies in particular are being hit in a very certain way, because it's, even though like people see Japan as like this huge, like a lot of office work is still very old school.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating reading about that this week, how a lot of like medical practices and stuff still use fax machines.
Which is insane, because the internet in Japan is so fantastically fast.
Yeah. But yeah, I was hearing that people at home may not have like internet or Wi-Fi in their own personal home.
Yeah, it's strange. But we'll see, man. I'm hoping we have some kind of like return. What's that term they're using? Return to the new normal. By the end of July, and then things just kind of we find a way to normalize a little bit more, especially in, because right now, not only is like how are we gonna get these people to work in these games, the other aspect is like how are we gonna distribute this stuff, because they can't just be like, oh, it's all digital now, fuck it, you know. They still have to, they have a retail kind of partners that they have to like appease. They have, how are we going to get physical copies to where? Okay, Amazon's the main deliverer right now. Can we get it to them? You know? That's, I don't envy anyone who's in charge of logistics right now, because I imagine it's a daily kind of anxiety attack of like, you know, who's where in the process? Who can we send this to? Can retailers get this thing? Are printing or manufacturing, are they even freaking open right now? Can they even work? You know?
Don't worry. Yeah. Our president will make them work.
God.
Get back in there and print those game boxes. They're essential.
But, I mean, the bright side seems to be that a lot of people are on his side. And, you know, like we're not going to talk about it too much. But, it, you know, like one of the things that's happening is like these like states are opening back up. And it's like you can open up, you can say businesses are back in. That does not mean that consumers want to go out and risk their lives to go see a movie or to eat out in a restaurant.
No. There's no way in hell that, like, if the movie theaters in my area open up or the restaurants reopen, that I'd be like, I'm going to be first in line to go sit in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. Again, even if they would open up this weekend, I'm like, what am I gonna go watch? Like, what are you offering me right now?
And it's the same thing. I wouldn't. Like, I think not me, but pass. Like the beaches open up, and like it's gonna be insane. It's gonna be like those images you saw in Florida, where the beach is overcrowded.
Yeah,
pass, dude. Fucking pass. You know.
Because I think one of the things, one of the disservices that we've done is everybody's heard this concept of social distancing, and everybody's like, okay, I just need to stay 6 feet away from everybody. And it's like, yes, if you have to, that like social distancing is a recommendation if you have to go out. It's not like, oh, go out and stay 6 feet apart, because you're still around people. The whole point is not to be around people.
A quick little like survey of you guys listening, and just give me like a yes or a no, right? You gone to a store and you seen some jackass with a mask. Take the mask off to cough or to eat or drink something.
Wow.
I have that. I took it off to cough.
I haven't seen that, but it makes me want to punch somebody just hearing about it.
I literally saw a person walking in a Target with a chip bag open on the cart, the mask below their chin, and munching the fuck away, and two panicked underpaid people behind saying, ma'am, please, you have to wear your mask. And she's like, later. And then like keep going like nothing. You know, and an additional idiot. Two more people like, okay, we need to get her out. Cause like in Miami-Dade County, If people aren't respecting inside, the business is held responsible. So the business are kicking people out who aren't following the mask enforcement inside stores. You know,
that does remind me though. I didn't even connect the dots because like you have to take your mask off to eat. So how are like restaurants and stuff opening up again?
My understanding is because that this is the big debate down here in South Florida, right? Because we rely so much on the hospitality business. So the big thing is like they're gonna allow them to open outdoor sitting extremely limited, right? Nothing inside and takeout only. That's the only thing they're gonna do.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of like we have like some restaurants here are takeout only, but there are places where it's like we're opening up the restaurant again. I'm like, what are you gonna do? Because you can't have people sit and eat. Because they really can't eat. Because yeah, so it's one of those things. Like again, I apologize for derailing this, but yeah, I got a survey.
All your fault. We're holding you responsible.
It is all my fault. But I got a survey from one of my movie theaters this week, and they're talking about like, oh, you know, like what are some stuff you would like to see when we reopen up? And they were talking about stuff, and I'm like, I have never like. You think about the big picture stuff. You think about like wearing a mask. You think about like hand sanitizer and stuff like that. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, like would you be okay with you having like single serve? Like you'd get like your soda in like a bottle or a can, or you know, like you have to have like a preset menu, or like if you buy a ticket and you come here because to offset the cost of the fact that you know we have to get rid of every other seat. Are you okay with having like a $10 minimum on top of your ticket for food and concessions? And I'm like, it's all the pseudo stuff that like, oh yeah, people are going to have to do stuff like this because they can't be at capacity.
I think at a certain point, to like not keep derailing, but at a certain point, a lot of people during this next year and a half, because this isn't going away by the end of summer, right? Next year and a half, a lot of people are going to come to terms how codependent they freaking are in a lot of aspects of their life and how they're going to like cope. That's the only way we're going to get past this stupid decisions we keep having in society, you know?
Yeah. And then you have people who are in just such a hurry to kind of reopen stuff that they got out of that stuff. Like, I mean, you have people where it's like, okay, this, like, I think, not Florida, was Georgia the one that did it? They announced it on Monday and it's like, we're going to reopen Friday. And it's like, okay, so like you don't, that's not even time to, like, even if you had a plan in mind to kind of get stuff set up and train people in a new normal. Yeah. Because that's the other thing. It's like people, like the people serving you are also going to have to be trained in this manner. Like,
part of the issue with some of that, like I think it was Georgia that my wife was reading an article from, like they were talking to restaurant owners and servers, like their clientele isn't going to follow the rules, like,
yeah,
and the guidelines they have, like, oh, if you have to go back into the kitchen to get something for, you know, a customer, you need to wash your hands, like, and like they're going to be complaining the entire time because, oh, they ran inside to go get me some ketchup, they had to wash their hands and I didn't get it right away, like,
yeah,
this is not going to work.
It's not. The only solution is patience and common sense. And America ran out of that shit last election, to be honest with you. So,
my other favorite thing that I see is, and the movie theater survey had this as well. It's like, oh, we're like, would you be okay with having your temperature taken? And I'm like, one, weird. Like, they're nurses and stuff, so that would be weird. But you got, two, like,
some 16-year-old kid taking your temperature when you walk into a theater.
Laser gun.
Yeah, I was about to say too, and I'm sure we've all been to movie theaters or done this. Movie theaters don't check shit.
No.
Like, I've literally seen people bring in a box of pizza. Like, they're not even hiding. They bring in a box of pizza. Like, okay, sure, it's not a gun. Hold
on. Earl, here's the scenario. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to open it up. It's going to be like, people are going to applaud. Hey, we're back to normal. It's going to get quiet. Everyone's like masked. They're separate, few seats apart. Like, you know, previews over, it dims, it goes dark, and then you hear in the back of the movie theater, and everyone's like, oh, fuck.
Yep. Yep. Because
that's going to be movie theaters all over the nation.
I heard stories of that before we closed down, where people are like, anytime somebody would call for a sneeze, it's like, what the hell's going on? Are they okay? So yeah, that's going to happen. It's like, if somebody coughs or sneezes or whatever, it's going to be like, nobody's going to focus anymore.
Because there's that weird phenomenon, right, where you're wearing a mask or something and you see someone rub their eyes, or just to the fact that you don't have access to like your nose or whatever, you want to touch it. You get itchy. Your brain's telling you touch it, even though you can't. You have to do it. That alone is going to help. Is going to spread the damn thing. I'm like, just like keep an eye when you guys do go out. Just even people listening at home, just pay attention to people who wear masks. The people who are wearing it wrong are the ones who can't keep from touching their damn face during the day. And then just pay attention to people who are just like, they're wearing it with no disregard for anybody else, right? It's too loose, or they're literally like, you're trying to talk to somebody to lower it so they can hear them better, you know?
Yeah.
it is. Jesus Christ. Yes. Oh, we were in the grocery store the other day waiting in line. My wife's cousin walked by. And she like waved, and like we knew who she was. We're like, "Hey!" And she's like, "Oh, you can't recognize me." And pulled the mask down. Like,
oh God, my God, no!
The
no,
fuck is wrong with you?
Put it back.
Yeah, man. It's just like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, on Facebook, you wait for somebody to post something stupid, and you're like, "Yeah, this guy sucks." And nowadays, you just gotta see how people act with a damn mask or gloves, you know.
Ed. I was going to say, because I just heard a picture of this on Instagram. And I get it. Like, people are just recommending like covering your face and stuff like that. But not all face covers are made equal. So people are just like, oh, yeah, I have like a silk scarf. This is good enough. And it's like, it is, but is it? Like, yes, if you can. I'm not saying everybody go out and get N95 mask. But like, get something that's not like, just like a ski mask that keeps you warm.
Yeah, man. And the people who are like showing off their isolation fashion with the fancy colored scarves and all that stuff, it's just like, good for you defining something, but like, not good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, one other thing I was thinking, because you were talking about the movie theaters, Earl. I don't know about you guys, but I always feel that movie theaters are notoriously dirty.
Yep.
Like they're like I know that they clean them, but you know, they have 25 minutes between movies or whatever, so they're just like rushing through and cleaning up everything that they can. Like, are they really gonna go through and wipe down every fucking chair? Like,
like I'm curious. I mean, ideally what you would do in that situation, if you can, is like for one showing you'd sell like 1, 3, 5, 7, and the next one you sell 2, 4. Like, it doesn't help, but it's something. But yeah,
right, and you could at least clean down every other chair. But
I think Fandango is doing this now, and I think Universal is jumping on board. They're looking at the obstacle as an opportunity, and they're selling a lot of like rental tickets, right? Rent it and watch it for 24 hours at an exaggerated price. And from what I understand, it's not a failed experiment. It's doing pretty decent.
Troll.
I think that's what we got to push. Like, I understand there's a lot of jobs and the economy and everything, but you know, just like history states, right? When Tony can help me out, hopefully he knows a little bit more. The last time we have a pandemic like this, things bounce back. You know what I mean? Because they rushed into it before, and that's when it actually crippled the economy, is when they tried to rush back in and everything got worse.
So it's just had a parade.
Yeah.
What?
In 1918.
Like, oh, okay. I found recently. I was like, what the hell?
No. We want to have parades. And that was one of the things that people brought up.
Yeah.
And I just saw a picture of that on Twitter where people are like everybody's like, oh, the Spanish flu cure, just have a parade for the first responders and stuff like that, or whatever they were called back then. And it's like, so you're going to have the people who are most likely to be infected go out and have a parade, and then it affected more people. So here's wave two.
So like from what I've read, like, and I wish I could remember it closer, and I apologize if I'm not 100% accurate, but for certain things stand out. So they said, oh, it's clear, let's get back to work. It got much worse, and that's what really crippled the economy. So what happened from the second wave of the outbreak? There's generations and generation of like kids being born with all sorts of issues because, you know, they, people were walking around in one form or another of infection, you know? I remember now back then it's a different story. Back then, health nutrition wasn't what it used to be, what it is now, right? We don't have the understanding and the kind of the guidelines to kind of like be able to nurse a pregnancy properly, right? So it was literally that last pandemic, it was a wave that lasted generations that were affected by it. That's the kind of scope people lack right now. They're just thinking of like, fuck, I need my hair done. You know? Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like people aren't out there protesting or being terrorists for their right to work. It's their right to have other people work for them, to get a haircut, to have food delivered to them and stuff like that. It's not, hey, because if they were really eager, they'd go and volunteer at a hospital or work at a supermarket if they wanted to work and be productive. But no, it's
right. They want their haircut. They want their nails done. They want to wander through a store and shop.
The local grocery store said that careers there are exciting, so they could go work there right now.
But this is the exact same thing that happened in 1918. It was the same thing. They shut everything down. There were lots of people who complained. It's like, okay, we'll open it up again. Then they had to shut everything down again. And then it happened again. There were three waves of this. Yeah. People are so dumb. And it's like there are books about this. There have been so many pandemics.
Yeah.
And we should know how to respond. And they don't have the mental fortitude to just like sit in their house and wait for it to be over.
Because it was literally in 1918, whatever it was, right? They literally said like, yes, jobs can open. People are sick. There's an opportunity to help by cleaning, you know, laundry, by, you know, sweeping streets. Okay, we're still hiring for that. We need that. We need our places to be clean. We need to sanitize. And people would not take up the jobs, you know?
What is it now? It's contact tracing. So, like, we need to hire all these people to do all this contact tracing. Let's figure out where the virus was and who caught it and who caught it from whom. And people don't want to do that. They want to go back. Like, the people who are complaining have jobs. Like, they're like most of us, where you can sit at home and work.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's horrible.
I want to play virus detective.
Right?
Hey man, right now the Netherlands started that like hardcore when it first started breaking out, and they have it completely under control. And these guys, there's got so efficient that I read a report that they could get it down to about 24 to 48 hours. They had it traced, and they had the person like isolated, and everyone who was in contact isolated.
That's great. Like if they could do that here. I mean,
if they could, but like we have people who are in charge who are just like, you know what, things are going great. It's we're done here, right? We finished. Let's go home.
Let's reopen the economy. It's fine.
Yeah.
Get we're the meat all going.
Look at South Korea. Look at the scenario in South Korea, because this blew my mind. Because I have friends who are still stationed there. You know, who do rotations out of South Korea. I guess you guys know, but for anyone listening, I was in the military. I was stationed in South Korea for 16 months. Like I was, you know, I keep track. So if you landed in South Korea, you get your temperature taken. If your temperature's within the range that they're, you know, have to test you, they move you in a private taxi paid by the country, right? By the government. They move you there. They move you to a hotel that's paid by the government. You stay there. You walk into the hotel. Within the first day, you get delivered a box. In this box, okay, there's medication to treat if in case you get a cough or any of that stuff. There's food for 14 days, right? Including like phone cards and whatever you need to be in contact with your friends, you know? And someone checks in on you periodically throughout the 14 days. And throughout this, you take a test the day one and you take a test when you leave. So that either you have it or you clear to go back and you can go back and be with your family. It costs people nothing. And it's like jobs they created. The government created jobs for, they took taxi drivers and they're like, we want you to drive just these people. Are you willing to take the job? We'll give you protection. We'll give you everything.
The death taxi.
we'll give you protection. We'll modify your taxis. You know, they put plexiglass and everything. We'll take care of all of that for you if you want. And they even said the hotel workers will hire extra people to clean. And not only that, we'll send our cleaning teams on a regular basis if you're willing to house them. And all these people say, hell yeah, man, money, you know? And because it's safe because they trust the government and they were able to do that. Could you imagine that ever working here in the United States?
No.
I don't want to trust the government here.
I never, but yeah. Even as a quick aside, and I think I've got this, you know, like, because we're not helping on either end, because you can either try to help cure the disease or you could help financially. And I don't know about the rest of you. I received my stimulus money this week, this past Wednesday, yesterday. And I was just like, I'm in a lucky situation. I think we all are. I can still work. I still get paid my paycheck. But I can't imagine if I wasn't, like, I would have gone the entire month of April with no income.
Yeah, man.
Get right. One check and that's it. And yeah. Tomorrow marks 2 months for most people.
What angers me about all this is like what we did, like what, a $4 trillion package,
and like, we get the actual American people got maybe 10% of it.
Yeah,
like it makes zero sense to me.
No, it's the same broken mentality. Support the corporations, and they'll take care of the citizenship.
That's not the way economics. Doesn't work.
That doesn't work in general, but then you look at the fact that like over the past 6 weeks or so, 34 million people have lost their job. So even if you support those corporations, there are 34 million people who aren't in that pool at all.
Right. They got $1,200 if they were lucky, because they may have not got $1,200. They may have lost their job and
I made more than that beforehand.
Yeah, so they didn't qualify for it. So.
If they would have turned that money into like, okay, guys, we're going to give you $1,200 every month until we're clear. They give everyone, right? That's money that goes right back into grocery stores. That means farmers keep producing and sending out produce, right? That goes right into like Amazon jobs. It blank, blank, blank. It just expands and expands and expands, right? And then even landlords are like, okay, I'm getting paid somehow because they know, you know, people will find a way to pay or there comes some kind of agreement or you do a suspension, whatever, you know? But all that stuff is, it takes common sense and we don't seem to have that in this country. We just seem to look at like, hey, Walmart, what's that? You need money? Hey, apply for this small business loan. We got you. You know what I mean? It's like...
And the problem is, as you noted, because we've gone through this several times over the past decade, is that money goes back to the corporations who just invest in the corporation. And then it's like when this hits again, it's like those corporations don't have any money. So we have to give them more money to make sure they can invest in themselves to give themselves money. Whereas, like you said, because like I got my $1,200 and I am going to most likely invest it in a new router and a new PC, partially because I can. Mm-hmm. But partially because, like I said, I'm still getting my full paycheck. So this is just money on top of that.
Yeah.
Because, if I wasn't, this doesn't cover anything. This hardly covers my rent for a month. And I would have had two that I've had to cover by now.
Here's the reality, man. Here's another thing about a lot of these people who say, like, oh, $1,200. Well, don't spend it all. It's like, dude, that doesn't cover insulin for some people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
I mean, like, let's be real. It doesn't cover insulin for a lot of people, man. That's why food banks are like so stressed out right now. Now, imagine you were paying people $1,200 every month, you know, like Canada's doing. You're giving everyone a stimulus, right? Food banks wouldn't be stressed out, and they can concentrate on the people who absolutely freaking need it, like the elderly and the youth who are like, you know, in bad situations.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like because of how the system's set up, like the people who actually need the money most were probably the people who didn't get it because for one reason or another, a lot of people who are lower income don't have bank accounts. They can't maintain a minimum balance or it doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, they'll take that hit to get their check cashed at a a check cashier is, or whatever.
Or it's not even that. It's something minimum balance. It's sometimes like, let's say they, because this could happen, right? You can get a job, everything's going fine, and then you get fired, and then a series of bad events happen, and then the bank closes your account because you've been overdrawn too long. Guess what? No other bank will open a freaking bank account for you for a couple years because it's reported. You know, so even if you get a job back, you got to work through the whole check cashing thing because you have no other method of an institution that's willing to take your money again.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is the rub. I mean, not necessarily with a bank account, but it's kind of like I did not have a credit card for most of my. I didn't have a credit card for all of my 20s because I was one of those idiots who got one in college, ran it up, and I'm I'm good. But then when I started with one to do stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, I have to build up my credit, and the only way to do that is really to get a credit card and some. I don't drive. I don't have a car.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys a quick story, and then I'll let Chris kind of put us back on track. Before I got deployed, I took out a credit card with Gateway Computers. Who remembers Gateway Computers? Raise your hand.
Oh, yeah.
My first one.
Yeah, I took out a computer on credit, and then I got deployed. The deployment was extended. So guess what? Internet wasn't really good back then, and everything was by mail. I wasn't in country to make payments. I came back and they were suing me because they're already going back under, you know, and I had to get JAG, which is the military attorneys, to help me out because they were trying to seize my payments, my paychecks, right? And they're like, hey, you can't do that. They're like, oh, well, yes, because remember, look at the credit agreement. And they're like, he was out of the country. You take this man's pay and the United States Army is going to come after you, you know? But my credit, so the compromise was they didn't take my freaking paycheck, but they destroyed my credit history. It took me a very long time to rebuild that crap up, you know? So take care of your credit, kids. Don't get deployed. Find a way to pay when you get deployed when you take out a credit card.
Yeah. So, with that said, Chris, video games.
What are video games? What?
Huh? Video games are the stuff I play.
You know what? Like, normally I would say I'm sorry, but like, I think we all need to vent. Everyone needs to vent at some point during this thing, you know?
Yeah, I honestly think that the people who aren't venting, the people who aren't finding a way to express themselves are scary because it's like, this is not a normal situation in
You got to vent. And look, I'm lucky. Like me and Tony, we vent on a nightly basis on Apex, right. one way or another.
Some of us may be venting in Apex right now. I don't know who would be doing that.
and I know Oro has he hangs out a lot with his friends and Chris too. He has a house full of people he can kind of talk to and hang out with and stuff.
I don't think Chris' house full of people are probably the people he also wants to vent about.
So. Occasionally, yeah. Like when you have four children, in fact, my wife goes the other day. We're sitting there at the table, and she looks out into our den, and she's like, "We are being terrible parents right now." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "All four of them have their face in a screen right now." like the entire room. My son was playing Fortnite with on the TV. My daughter was playing with him on her phone. My other daughter was reading a book on her phone, and my youngest was watching YouTube videos in the corner. And I was like, I don't care.
you know what that would have been like when I was growing up? Me watching my older brother play and hoping I can get a turn before my parents made me go to sleep. You know?
Yeah. Well, if anybody wanted to play on that television, that's basically you need to like, hope that he gets up to the bathroom so you can sip in on it. But my daughter, for whatever reason, likes playing on her phone when she plays with him. So,
oh, that's how they bonding, dude. I mean, you know what I mean? It's
yeah. And I'm like, whatever, go at it.
Yeah, that's how it was with me and my brothers. We had NHL 95 or 99. And my brother's like, all right, man, we're going to draft teams. He's like, I'm the oldest, so I get first round. It's like, God damn it. He would take all the, like, 190s, you know? And then it's like me and then my other brother. But then, like, I would feel bad for my other brother, so I let him go second, and I had third. I had, like, the third best players in the games, you know? Yeah. And that's how we bonded, though, yeah. You know? when I did beat my brother who had the best players in the game, I was like, you suck. And then we get in the fist fight. You know?
That sounds like brothers.
Absolutely, dude.
But, yeah, I don't think she was being, but yeah, I don't think it's, parents need breaks.
Yeah.
What they do? No. No.
Kill the children. Kill them.
It's like home's a break from work and work's a break from home. And now like they're all growing together. It's like, crap, my work is my home. My home is my home. There's really never any time off anymore where it's just like, okay, I can drive around for like an hour, be stuck in traffic and not have to deal with anybody. You don't get that benefit anymore. And really, I mean, what else are you going to do with your kids? Like, I know you have your bookshelf and stuff. I mean, there's only so many books you can read in a given week. I feel like there are a lot of parents I've spoken to who are just like, who have access out of those rooms because they're just like, I don't know what to do with them. It's not like we can take them to the park or anything. It's like they're here all the time.
I got some friends who just sit in their garage or in their shed to get away from their house for a while.
I'm happy that they have somewhere to get away.
Yeah.
I mean, with the weather getting better, my wife actually went out to the front of our house and she created like a little area where she can go read like outside.
The she shed, is that what?
Yeah, it's more like the she piece of lawn. And then I have the basement, which they generally stay out of here if I'm down here. But yeah, it's you need time away, and that's been an issue.
Yes, you're
never away. Like you, and Tony, you're probably worse off because I think like you smaller living space than I have. Like you're always with them.
Yeah, no, it's hard. Like, whenever you try to do anything, it's hard. If normally you'd be able to sit in your office maybe and work on like a project for a couple hours, that doesn't happen now. Like, your couple hours gets broken up like 6 or 7 times by, can I have string cheese or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or like having to reconnect your kid to the online classroom because they've disconnected themselves again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are you out here? You're supposed to be in class. I'm on a break. How long have you been on a break? 25 minutes? That doesn't sound right. Go back.
Oh, man. I don't envy that. I'm sorry. I don't envy that.
No, I am with you. I'm like, I'm so happy I don't have kids during all of this. Yeah. Like, my insanity is just my insanity. And if I just want to hide from the world, I'm just like, I'm going to spend extra time in my bed in the morning.
The most I have a bunch of dogs, right? The most stressful thing is like the other day they're like barking up in the bathroom and going nuts. I was like, what the hell? Do I have a spider or something? I go in there. The big dog was in the bathtub, and the bathtub was still wet, so she was slipping and sliding trying to get out, and the other dogs were like freaking out for it. You know, like, oh no, get out! The water's there.
You're and drowning.
Yeah, but it was just slippery, right? Because there was no standing water or anything. He was just like making a mess of everything, shampoo all over the place and stuff like that. It was just like, okay, you know, let me scoop you out, and everything went back to normal. I can't imagine with kids, you know.
Sleep in the bathtub.
Have you guys played anything?
Gears Tactics.
Do we have more impressions of that?
How much more have you played, Tony?
I have played, where am I? I want to say chapter 2-4.
Okay.
Yeah, I made it so you, I know you were talking, I don't think we had gotten to the big boss fight at the end.
We haven't gotten to the Brumac yet, last week.
Brumac's pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because
I don't know if you did what I did. I took out all of his guns. So basically, he's like following your guys around.
Yeah,
he's got his guns. He's got missiles, which makes you relocate your troops every move, or else they'll get blasted. But he also stomps on your guys if they're too close. But if you took out his guns, he's kind of like impotent.
Yeah, so that was my mistake early on, was I split my team up to basically have two on one side, two on the other side. And if you to kill the Brumak, he has these big emulsion tanks on his back, and you have to take out three of them. So, like, I started shooting at them. And when you shoot at them, he doesn't make a move, like, necessarily, but he will turn.
He just turns around so that you are always facing his front.
Yes. So instead of, I should have focused on the guns early on, but instead I was like, oh, all right, well, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But then when he does attack, those guns are brutal. And then there's a like emergence holes that spawn wretches and drones. And it's like, God damn it. Like, it's like you're trying to clear them out, trying not to get stepped on. And if you don't clear, take out his guns like you did, like you're constantly under pressure.
Yeah. And he hits pretty hard too.
Yeah. But it was a fun boss battle. Like generally, like, you know, turn-based games don't have good boss battles because it's just a giant thing in the middle that's a bullet sponge. But this required you to kind of have a little bit of tactics. And
yeah, if you got a guy on each side of him, you could keep him like spinning around too, which was,
yeah,
I love how familiar it is from the moment you start playing. You know, the sound effects, the sound, like everything, the music, the guns, everything feels familiar. So that when the adjusting to the new play style isn't hard, you know, because everything feels like you lived it before. Now you just let the computer kind of do a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, you're just picking, you know, you're positioning your guys and then, like, you know, kind of giving them instructions on what to do. Yeah. But I think
this game is going to find, it's going to have a long life, but it's going to be down the road. You know what I mean? I think this is ever going to be like a huge seller. I think word of mouth alone is going to carry this game, especially because if it's one thing we know about Gears is like they stick to their games, man. They update them and they update them and they send cool and they listen to the communities and they create really cool shit out of it, you know? And this game is fun, dude. Like I played it for a little bit on my PC that could barely run it, but it was still fun, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I saw Tony's screenshot of the Brumak fight. I'm like, I wish mine looked that way.
It's an attractive game if you're actually running it in Ultra, let me tell you.
Because like you're like, wow, you have like cool lighting and mine is like a little bit gray. It's still like, it looks like if I was playing like a 360 game, which isn't bad, but it's not what you want to have an HD game, but I'm having a blast with it. I love the upgrade paths, like the active and passive skills that your guys get. There's tons of, actually, I think there might be a bit too much equipment that you pick up. Because the menu for that is actually a little, it's just a list. So like when you're like, oh, I want to put an attachment on my Lancer. It's like, all right, well, now I have like 15 fucking attachments. I'm trying to like scroll through. Yeah.
I don't even pay attention. Like the only ones you need to worry about are the attachments for the guys who are actually going on the mission.
Right.
You like steal them from whoever you want to.
Yeah. And there are definitely good ones. Like I like that some of the attachments have like passive skills attached to them as well. So it's like, all right, well, if I attach this on here, like I'll get a 10% damage bonus, or if I don't take a shot and I go into Overwatch, I'll get an extra action point next round.
The one thing I don't like, the side quests, it's not like an actual side quest.
No.
Like it's just an additional quest added to pad out the campaign and you just get to choose what it is.
And they're not great.
No, there's no storytelling. It's just like dropping you on a map which you may have already been on or will be on, and then play through a mission and come back.
Yeah. So there was one mission that I did, I guess it was a story mission, and then I did a a control mission or something, and it was like, I was just here.
Yep.
Like, but I don't know. The other thing I find weird about that is, like, regular missions, it's normally like, all right. So I just finished a mission where it was, I had to get into this hospital, and you go into the hospital and, like, you get to the objective, and then it's like, all right, now you have to evac. So, like, you have to take all your entire squad and get them to the evac point, which is all the way back across the map. A lot of these other, like, these side missions just end, especially the control missions. Like, they just keep throwing more and more of the horde at you, and you hit the objective point, like you held it for 7 rounds and got enough of the supplies. Okay, it doesn't matter that you're surrounded by the horde. Mission over.
Well done.
It's like, good work. About to die. I guess I'm fine with. I don't want to die, but yeah, I like the story though. I think Gabe is a pretty cool character. I like the sniper lady. Sid is kind of a jackass. I'm not sure I like him.
No, he kind of sucks.
And
sniper lady is cool.
Yeah.
Sid is not cool.
Cole is weird. I don't know why he's there. I like Cole, but he is very clearly not meant to be in this game. He's not in any of the cutscenes, so he's not part of this squad, because it takes place like 10 years before Gears 1. It's just really weird that he's there.
But hey, he's a hero. He's
one of
the hero guys.
So I assume that since like Cole was there, they will, we'll get other named heroes in the future. I wouldn't doubt that we get like Marcus and Kate and JD and Dom and all those guys.
Yeah.
Are you guys at the point where you could drop a numeric review of it, or is it still too early?
I'm assuming there's 5 chapters, so I'm in chapter 2 still.
It's
a long game, it feels like, because I've still put, 12 hours into it? So.
Yep. You faded a little bit there, Tony.
I think I started speaking, lightly. But yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's cool. I don't know. It's still early.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah, it's like I'm with Tony. It's like I think it's 5 acts long, and I'm still in chapter 2 as well. So.
I'm literally gonna wait for it to come on console, because it's frustrating to run it on my computer, and I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, I will fully see myself replaying it again on either Xbox One X or Series X later this year.
Yeah.
I assume, like, because of the way it works really well with the mouse and keyboard, it's just super intuitive. Their menu system, their selection screen for actions is just really simple. But because it's so simple, I feel that it probably does translate pretty well to a controller. If you just make the right stick a mouse cursor.
Yeah.
And then like you can press A or trigger to select what you're hovering over. So,
well bear in mind, Xbox currently is mouse and keyboard compatible.
Right. Right.
So, but I imagine that's going to be like, you can use a mouse and keyboard in this game when they release it.
Which is probably the best way to play it, but
absolutely for this type of games, you always want a mouse and keyboard, right?
So, it would be playable with a controller.
Yeah,
XCOM is completely playable with a controller, XCOM is a great way.
I don't think I'm ready to review it quite yet, but I really like it, it's really good.
No, I booted it up and I was nothing but impressed. I was like, for some reason, I thought it was like a passion project for the team, but it's a full-fledged release,
Yeah. And it's probably longer than any Gears game ever.
Probably, yeah.
Because most of those are, between
8 and 10 hours. If that.
They're not long. Yeah, they play right through them.
Which I think benefits the franchise, but that's a
discussion. Oh, for sure. And actually, this game probably would clock in maybe 10 to 12 hours if you remove the side quests. Because I've been playing two missions a night. I feel that if I was just playing story missions, I'd probably be like maybe two-thirds, even three-quarters of the way through the game at this point. But it stops. Like, these side missions stop the game, and are like, early on it was like, oh, you have to do one, but now I'm getting up to points where it's, oh, you have to do two before you can do the next story mission. And I don't know if that's to level up your characters, or I'm not really sure what the point is. But they're there. Anybody play anything else, though?
I figured we would want to talk about Streets of Rage 4 a bit more. I don't know if you've got a chance to play that. I know Jeff has.
I played a little bit of it.
I played some co-op this past weekend. I think we got, there's only like 12 stages. I think we got to like stage 9. It's fun. I like the way that you can kind of combos together with your teammate. If you get a rhythm with your teammate, it's really great to kind of get into that groove where there are certain bosses or enemies that you can just kind of juggle between the two of you, and it will take them a while to recover, which is great because I think a lot of other old school beat 'em ups, it was like the player was always at a disadvantage with bosses having certain frames that they couldn't be hit at, or being able to damage you in states that you can't really do anything to. And there's some cheapness to that in here as well. But for the most part, I think it's a ton of fun. The other thing I like, and I think it's, I don't think I touched on this last when I talked about it, is that there's a risk-reward with the special moves now, which you didn't have in previous game. And all the beat-em-ups, almost all beat-em-ups use this concept. There's like, if you did like a super move, it would drain health from you. And that was just it, that you drained health and that was it. This one, it drains health from you, but it's kind of like a fighting game where that health is drained from you, but it's temporary. It's temporary health. You can gain it back if you go a certain amount of time without taking damage. If you take damage, it automatically just takes it all away from you. But I think it's a nifty addition where it's like, okay, if I'm good enough to kind of either play keep away or to keep them in this combo going, I can regain the health for doing a special move. And it's like this really nice risk reward, trying to play defense and offense. I like, there's a lot of different weapons. One of the cool things that they added here is that you are able to like use weapons and catch them in midair. So like if an enemy throws something at you or like a grenade or something, you can also press that button instead of picking it up from the ground to pick it up in midair and then use that as a weapon. And you can also do that with weapons. So like for instance, like if you have a crowbar, you could throw it. And if you're at a place that if you're inside and it has a wall, you could throw it at the enemy, have it bounce off the wall, and then grab it on its way down, and then use it to beat them down. So, it adds a lot of little nuances that doesn't overcomplicate the game, but does make it a bit more complex or a bit more nuanced, where it's like, okay, I could do more stuff than just button mashing the attack button and getting away with it. So, I appreciate that. And I've gotten, as I've gotten further into the game, I think some of the backgrounds in this game are absolutely stunning. They do a good job of just making the backgrounds really ivy and seem vibrant with the art style.
Yeah, I think the game looks really, really good. I got an achievement for catching a weapon in midair. I didn't know that I did it or how I did it.
Those details don't matter.
Yeah,
but you did it. So yeah, and there's some fun achievements in there. I got one for you get one for knocking somebody down a hole, and that was just pure accident too. Because you can fall down them as well. But I was playing a character who like the finishing move of her combo is that she kind of does a rock bottom, and we were fighting near a pit, and I just rock bottom him, and he fell through, and it's like achievement. I'm like, awesome. And I tell my friend about it, and he's like, oh, okay. So he's spending like the rest of the fight trying to like fit them into the hole so that he can get that achievement as well. So yeah, it's just been a really great return to form in like the beat 'em up category and just rolling on people. So I appreciate that.
It's been a pretty good run for beat 'em ups with the Marvel Ultimate Alliance and now this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been playing a ton of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. So there's similar beat 'em ups, but Marvel's kind of, it has the more modern aesthetic where it's like partially an RPG, so some of like your stats and stuff. I also don't think there's as much strategy in Marvel outside of boss battles. Because
This is very much an arcade game.
Yeah. But there has been some others that I do want to check out. And the other thing I paid, but I've not paid a ton of, so I don't have enough impressions of. But again, I've been looking for a new RPG to play or something to just kind of counteract my, I think, 100 hours in Animal Crossing now. Is I tried out Lost Odyssey on the Xbox because they gave that one away for free a few years ago. And I just was like, oh, let me go through the games that I've had between Gold and Plus to see what I want to check out. And I've always played like an hour of it, so I'm still really much in the tutorial. But I do like how it's set up, and I do like how it looks. So I think I'm going to try to play more of it. It's a weird... How do I say this without sounding... It's a very 360 gen Microsoft game. So it's an RPG. It's a JRPG. But it's a JRPG that isn't very... For lack of a better term, weeb, as people call it. It's not very... Like, you wouldn't know it's very Japanese. If you looked or paid it, it's very Americanized military. It's very gray and brownish.
Oh, it's Lost Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
It gets more colorful and also very. It becomes very, very Final Fantasy.
Okay. Which I imagine, because I think the guy who made it was the
Final Fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. But the first battle you have is like you're a soldier and you're fighting like a turret or something like that. And like that seemed very different from what I expect from a JRPG.
Yeah, it as the game moves on, it becomes very Final Fantasy-ish, which is, I think it's the best Final Fantasy game probably since 10. And it's not Final Fantasy, so
yeah.
You also played. There were some ones you played last week that I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on. Tales of Vesperia.
Yes. Tales of Vesperia. I mean, part of the problem is it's not Tales of Vesperia. Is I'm trying to find a game to play not on my Switch, but the Switch is the most accessible thing when I'm working from home because it's like, oh, I could take it in and. If I have all at work, which I have a ton of videos at work, I can just kind of play on handheld mode, which is why I play so much Animal Crossing. Where with like the PlayStation and the Xbox, they're connected to my TV, so I have to make a conscious decision that, like, I really just consciously have to be like, I'm not going to work for the rest of the day. And so I've not had, like, when I finish work, really what I do is I either hop on calls with friends and I don't want to, like, I've actually tried to play Tales of Vesperia. But I just kind of get sidetracked with the actual conversation that we're having, that I can't focus on it. Or I watch a movie or a TV show, because those are very passive, I don't want to think about any hobbies. So I am still enjoying it. I still like the combat. For some reason, I don't find it as... I played Tales of Symphonia, and Tales of Symphonia Dawn of the New World. So that's really my only exposure to the franchise. So it might just be my rose tinted glasses of the memories. I remember those being a lot more. I feel like you were a bit more agile in those games as far as the character in combat. Like this one feels like it's mostly played on a 2D plane. You can move in 3D spaces with the hold of a button, but it feels like you're running back and forth. Where like I feel like Tales of Symphonia. You kind of had free reign of the arena throughout the battle without holding on a button. But I do enjoy the combat. I do enjoy... I find it a fascinating franchise in the sense that you learn moves and attack throughout the course of the battle, where most RPGs usually give you the stuff at the end of the battle. So there has been times I've been in battles, I've leveled up. Or actually, your moves level up separately from the character, so you can do stuff and unlock... a special move in the middle of combat without leveling up the character. And like it's available right there and then. You may not necessarily know how to do it because it triggers to some button you haven't assigned yet. But I do like that where it's like, oh, halfway through a battle, my strategy can change because now I have this 3-punch combo that's a special attack. And then, like, you know, the characters are interesting right now. I think I'm a wolf, the main character and the heroine girl. And you could tell I've been paying attention to the story because I know all of their names.
Yeah.
That was quite evident, yes.
Yes.
Healing Girl sounds pretty hot. Tell me more about her.
And so from what I gathered, I think she's a princess, but the main character does not know it because she lives in a castle and she has her own room. And he's just like, oh, I'm rescuing her. And I'm like, okay, so she is in a castle. She's not allowed to go outside. I'm pretty sure she's royalty, but main character's not that bright, so.
And you're kidnapping her.
No, you're not kidnapping her. No, she's,
I don't know, man. It sounds like the plot to Shrek.
Is the main character green? Does he have layers? That's a
he has layers.
Are you playing Shrek 2?
Do you have a donkey on your party?
I didn't have a donkey yet.
Okay, it's not Shrek. You're good. It's not Shrek.
That does remind me of the one thing I'm not a huge fan of, and it's very old school in design, is the world map. I'm just so accustomed to, I guess, because I've mostly been playing Xenoblade, and like my other favorite RPG, Skies of Arcadia, where those are kind of open world environments, where this has like an action, not a map, but like, you don't run around the world. You run around like the map itself. The enemies spawn on that, and then like on the map, where like different destinations you go to, and you go to those destinations, and then you press like A, and then you enter those towns. So it's very old school in that design, where it's not like an interconnected world, or it's not like an actual. There's nothing in between towns. It's just like this map that you can kind of explore and navigate, but it's not like a fully developed environment, and it feels so antiquated.
What about Tales of Cold Steel 3 that was on your list last week?
That was on my list, and I will say that I really enjoyed that. It's not out yet. I think it's out soon. But I think part of it was that the demo just kind of gives you this sample where you're a much stronger character. But I really liked it's an interesting mix of like, it's a turn-based RPG, but it has some basic elements of like a tactical RPG, because you can move your characters around, and depending on where you move them around, you may or may not be in range of enemies' attacks or counterattacks. And then like your moves itself, like you can have special moves where you can kind of like, okay, I want to hit this area. And the hope is that like, you can hit like two or three enemies at once. But again, during an enemy's turn, they can move, so that can throw off the whole thing. Or like, say another teammate accidentally kills 8, so that can just throw off your whole strategy. So I found that very fascinating. And again, it kind of had a different setting because it's like a military academy right now that's going through like training or whatever for this part of it. But I was like, okay, I'm kind of into this, and I'm curious to see if the whole game's battle system holds up like this. The demo itself is only like half an hour, so it's not too much. You get like 3 or 4 battles, but I enjoyed the combat system, which is really what I'm looking for in an RPG, because I don't care about the story enough, but I want a system that's like, my thing is I've never cared for turn-based combat because I find it so passive. And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate from people who have RPGs who talk about how much strategy and stuff goes into it. I press a button 3 times or whatever. I watch that play out. The enemies attack me. I watch that play out. I do it rinse and repeat. I like something where I'm kind of engaged with it at multiple points. One of the reasons I've always enjoyed the Paper Mario, Mario and Luigi series is that you never put down the controller and just watch it play out. It's like, okay, I do this. I could do this to add more damage, or I can do this to block damage from the enemies and stuff like that. Something as simple as that, or like one of my, like I said, Skies of Arcadia is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. Very simple addition, but the fact that you can change the element on your weapon at any time adds a bit of strategy, but it's always keeping me engaged in like, okay, what is this enemy's weakness? How can I change, like, how can I change up on them? And it's one of those things that it goes a long way with me.
I think one of the things Lost Odyssey had, and there is still an element of, you know, press A and press A again, watch what happens. But it has that active ring in Lost Odyssey that's like will keep you a little more engaged.
Yes, it's like, okay, that was the one thing I didn't get, and I think I was just reading the instructions wrong. Because the way they explained it, I thought I had to hold down the button, but it seems more like it's a timing thing where it's like I will press it when it's closer to the circle.
Yep.
And yeah, so that was I don't know why I read it that way. So I got it like the second or third time. The first two times I was like, okay, I'm not holding it down, I'm pressing it. And yeah, that's a mechanic that kind of, Xenoblade does the same thing where it's like you'll press B at a certain point and that will do more damage or whatever. And again, it's very minor, but it keeps me engaged the entire battle.
Yep.
And then I imagine as you go further in the game, different timings will come into play.
Yeah, as you get different characters, they have different kind of special things going on with their timings and their rings as well. Walt, you playing some Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, man. I got this kind of like RPG fix. Like I'm playing Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, if I remember the name correctly, on the Switch. It's animation by Studio Ghibli, so it's gorgeous. I fucking love it. And the fighting mechanics are dope. Like you can control where you go, the dodge, like the bosses and stuff, but you still have to press A to initiate attacks and stuff, you know?
Yep.
And it's just a good, like, you can kind of tell it's kind of holding your hands a little bit because it's still early on, and it's just a lot more stuff is going to open up, and it's deep. And it's everything you love about that game studio, which is escaping my name right now.
Level 5.
Everything you love about their stuff, like Rogue Galaxy and all the stuff they made back in the day, you know, it's there. And the animation is between actual gameplay and animation. You can kind of tell a difference, but it's not jarring. You know what I mean? As opposed to like Chrono Trigger, you know, they added those animations after the fact and then you actually play the game. It's like, yeah, it's very much 8-bit, you know? So that's been like a fun escape, dude. It's like a really great story too. It's just a kid trying to bring his mom back, you know? You can kind of feel like it's setting you up for some kind of emotional kind of like realization, you know, of some kind there. But it's fun. And I'm also playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey because I slept on that game when it first came out. And I got a great deal on Xbox Live, $24 for everything, for the Gold Edition, all the DLC, Season Pass, and Assassin's Creed 3 were bundled in there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great, and I'm really enjoying it. Tony told me, like, dude, you're going to love that game, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, and great. I'm actually going to dive back into, now that it's on Game Pass, I'm going to dive into Red Dead 2, into the online play, because it's very improved. Sean was talking about how fun it was for him for a while. And so I'm kind of looking forward to playing that. And I'm actually going to probably play through the story again for achievements, because despite the controls and everything and the traveling systems, like, I enjoyed the story. I really did enjoy my time in that game. So I'm probably going to...
I will go back and play it at some point. I made it, what, maybe about 10, 12 hours in.
Yeah, I put a lot of time in the PlayStation 4 edition of it. That's a lot of time, dude. I really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't dive into the side quests as much because I was just really invested in the story. I think if you can get past a lot of like the annoying stuff, you know what I mean? You guys know exactly. I imagine you guys had editing session regarding it. If you can get past that annoying stuff, because it is... It's not the norm, right? They really went out of their way to kind of make you feel like, hey, this world has rules and you're going to play by it, you know? When you get past by that, the story and the characters around there are to me, are great. Some of the best Rockstar writing they've done in a while, you know, because they're not relying on shock value like they do in the GTAs, right? It's just like flawed individuals, you know, all over the place.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I've been doing. It's just been kind of chill, catching up on old stuff, which is kind of like this whole pandemic has been helpful with that. Yeah. And I'm getting great deals on stuff and I'm getting ready to upgrade from my launch Xbox to One X, you know, so I can really enjoy my time around these games, you know?
Yeah.
So I know that Tony's excited because it should improve my Apex gameplay as well. But yeah, and a lot of Apex, dude. Like a nightly basis. Like me and Tony. Like Tony's like a few levels away from maxing out his battle pass.
I'm 108 right now.
When's the season over?
Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, you better get moving.
No, I'm gonna make it probably pretty easily too.
Yeah. That's game, confident. Dude, I'm telling you, for Battle Royale games, like that, to me, that's been the best investment. I've played a significant amount of time of Fortnite. I tried Call of Duty. Call of Duty is maybe a year away from being good, in my opinion. But Apex right now is they're riding high, man. They got some great stuff. They got some good balance. It's so much fun.
Getting my Halo Battle Royale.
That's coming. You're going to get that. Give it hopefully to me. The problem is that these battle royales, man, they take time to get good, you know. But it's one thing about communities like Call of Duty and Halo; they're there day one, so they should. It's just a matter of the team making the right moves to fix it and make it fun, you know.
343 gets a lot of shit, but they supported the fuck out of Halo 5.
Oh yeah, like,
there was constant updates for you know. 2 years on that game.
I mean, they're doing the updates now for the anniversary editions coming out on PC, you know?
Yeah, they're doing all that work on Master Chief Collection and adding stuff in there. There's a kind of a season pass. You don't have to purchase it, but there's like a reward system that they have in that game right now too, so...
And I mean, just a minor update. But I think they announced that Halo 2... it's coming to the PC version this week.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a fun time. I think it's a great time to kind of go back in the backlog and pick up stuff that you're always like, huh, I wonder, you know, and give it a shot.
It's been a fantastic time for that, for better or worse. Like even before we got on here, I mentioned before, I've paid a crap ton of 9 parchments. We're on our third playthrough of that game now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a lot of parchments. That's like 7 parchments now.
I'll be honest. If my PlayStation was still working, I'd be in Bloodborne on a nightly basis again. You know?
Oh, I'm almost done with one of my characters in Borderlands, so I'm super happy that's actually becoming a thing. I mean, outside of the games I talked, I've been playing a crap ton of Borderlands, Marvel's 193, Overcooked 2, 9 Parchments, Dead by Daylight.
What's the Switch game that everyone keeps talking about? That Movers, something like that?
Oh,
Moving out. I heard that's a ton of freaking fun.
It's an indie.
But it's selling really well on the Switch, apparently.
It's on Game Pass.
Yeah,
it's on Game Pass?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, man, we got to try that. I heard it's a ton of fun.
I don't think it's online co-op.
It's not online
co-op? I could be wrong. I don't think so.
Yeah, it might be couch co-op only.
That's why it was not like on my radar, because I played that. Though that reminds me of a game I do want to check out, and hopefully I get it next week if I get around to it. There's a game called Pong Quest, which is apparently it has Pong, but it's also kind of like a single player Pong adventure title.
Oh, I saw this.
And I'm just saying, I'm really curious how you make this a full title. So. And it kind of goes back to the theory I was talking about when I went to PAX, where a lot of games are now taking old school like arcade games and making them into adventure games. Because we had the Skyrocket, which is essentially Pong. And then you had the, I forget the name of the other game, which was Breakout, but turned into an adventure game. I'm like, okay, it makes sense. It's working. So go for it. And then I saw Pong. Like, I want to try this out.
Yeah, I don't know how the writing is in that, but it looks super cute. Like the battles are against like AI Pong guys, and you're playing Pong, and like when you get the ball by them, they take damage.
Yeah, and then there are things where people are doing. Like some of the enemies will have the Pong ball, and then when they do it, a bunch of other stuff comes out, so you have to know which one's the actual ball to hit back. Yeah, so
they have like special powers. That's neat.
Yeah, so I'm really curious to see how that plays. So I'll see how cheap it is. So just as a quick update, I looked at the Steam thing, And it looks like this is single player and shared split screen. I mean, the good thing with Steam nowadays is it has that, what is it called? Screen share? So like any local game, you can actually just play online with your friends, but that's all you on Steam. The console versions do not have that.
Xbox One is single player, Xbox Live, local, multiplayer, 2 to 4 players.
Yeah, so no online.
No, it's online. Xbox Live.
Right, I thought you said local.
Yeah, that's what described Xbox Live, local, multiplayer, 2 to 4 players. Xbox Live local co-op 2 to 4 players.
But no, but that's a circle.
But why are you saying Xbox Live? You get me?
Maybe it's just maybe it should be like Xbox Live / local, so you can do both. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe you're not meant to understand.
Yeah, I'm making
that. No one really knows.
I'm looking at Co-Optimist, which is my go-to site for online co-op games, and it says no online co-op supported.
At Steam, it doesn't, but the Xbox is saying it is. But let me see. I'm going to IGN. Brace for impact.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
Hide your head.
But yeah, while he looks that up, any other... Okay, so unfortunately, the game can only be played in local couch co-op, and there are no online multiplayer options, meaning you're stuck with paying people who you can get to your house. Yeah, so
it's not doable right now.
Yeah, never mind. I guess I'm sure they'll patch it. You know,
should play with your girlfriend.
Yeah, it's true. She's not much into gaming, though.
Yes, to your point, I never realized that before, but I guess Xbox Live is just their general branding now. This has Xbox Live, local multiplayer, Xbox Live, local co-op, Xbox Live achievements, Xbox Live presence, Xbox Live clubs, Xbox Live cloud save. So it just sounds like Xbox Live is part of their branding stuff now.
Got it. That makes sense then, yeah.
No, anybody else play anything else?
I'm trying to think. Age of Empires Definitive Edition. I'm playing that because I, for whatever reason, it didn't click into my head until last week that I'm paying for the Ultimate Game Pass, so I have all these PC games.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know? That's right.
So I downloaded that Halo Wars, Broforce, and what else do I have downloaded? I've actually been able to play in between meetings and stuff. Just kind of crank over Gears Tactics, Wasteland 2. Because I was playing Wasteland on console, and I think I tweeted out or something in our group, like, God, this game is great, but I can't do it with this controller. And you're like, hey, dude, it's on Game Pass. Because I was getting ready to buy it. And I was like, no, it's not. And then I looked I downloaded the app, and there it was. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and Microsoft owns that studio now, so.
Yeah.
That seems like the type of game that would benefit from multiplayer, but it does not have that. What else did I pick? Oh, I've been playing more Path of Exile. I think I've mentioned that before when I started.
Yeah, it's like a Diablo type game. Yeah,
great.
It's just a lot more complicated skill tree.
Yeah, it's a great game, dude. It reminds me of the skill tree from the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
That game's been going on forever now, it feels like.
Yeah. And they just added MechWarrior 5 to Game Pass PC.
Yeah, I installed it today, although I already have it purchased on the Epic Game Store. Well, screw them. Screw those guys.
There are achievements for that?
There are not achievements, no.
They think had achievements? Come on, man. That's like...
It's really strange on some of these games. I do not understand.
It's not console, right? It's only PC? Yeah.
I think I'll pick up Torchlight 2 week. We'll see. Either that or...
Oh, Torchlight 2 is fantastic. I'm playing a lot of that on the Switch.
Yeah, I was going to get that. I think it's on sale. Oh, it's on sale on something. And I was like, again, online co-op games, I'm my job was like right now our benchmark date is July 1st. I got 2 more months of this, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. my boss today was like, she's like, I don't know when we're going back, but like, how do you feel about working from home? Like, oh no. Are they it's like, even when we go back, it's like, I think we're still gonna have to, it's gonna be like split days or something.
Yeah, which I would imagine a lot of people are going to. Like, yeah, we've talked about it enough about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just gonna continue on with Gears Tactics. Probably finish up Streets of Rage 2. I'm really bad at that, but
we can't be good at everything, Chris. Except me.
It's all right. There's an easy mode. And I'm bad at that too, but it's at least forgiving enough that I can make it through the level. Jeff wanted me to play it immediately after we ended last week, but I had jumped into Gears Tactics already, so I haven't played it co-op. But I'll continue on with that. Continue on with Gears. Tony, you're gonna continue with Gears and Apex. And
oh yeah.
Walt's playing everything over there.
Oh man, this is it's a lot of downtime, man. My own business things are slowing down, so I get to catch up on backlog for now, you know.
Earl's over there playing all the JRPGs.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to any of them, but
not paying attention to any of that. Like, it's really bad. I'm just like trying. Like, I also the other game I meant to talk about is I started playing Plants vs. Zombie 2. Because again, just going through like what games do I own on Game Pass or.
Wow, dude!
And I've been playing the most of the single player, I should say, and it's cute.
It's
the
single fun.
Player.
Yeah.
The single player, you could tell, it's just really just like a training for the multiplayer.
The multiplayer,
like,
yeah.
It's like defend this point, raise this bag.
Garden Warfare 2.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, man. I'm like flashback. I said wow because like I did a sponsored event for it when I was working at the game spot. I flew in Lisa Foyles and Trisha Hershberger to be part of it. And we got it early. We got to play it. And I remember it was a lot of fun day one, you know?
Yeah. And I still befuddled by the decision not to port one of these games to the Switch. It seems like it's an ideal game for the Nintendo.
No-brainer.
And didn't they just release a third one?
So Battle for Neighborville, which is a massive improvement in every respect.
Yeah. I would have brought it back. I would have brought it to the Switch free to play with just like buy perks or whatever the fuck you make the free to play stuff just to get people hooked on the franchise. And that would have sold three, you know?
Yeah.
So Battle for Neighborville has like a full like single player quest line. It has like gear style
like horde missions. Mode?
Yeah. Right. And then the multiplayer. It's like it's a full fledged game in like every respect, whereas the other ones are kinda like, let's put the multiplayer in a single player and see what happens. But the third one was kinda like great.
You know what it kinda reminded me of looking back? It was like the first kind of multiplayer that was a bit like Overwatch. You know, where each character has like a unique kind of ability in there, and it's about not getting the most kills, but working together to kind of own the most territory. Mm-hmm. You know, and they had that right before. I think that came out before Overwatch, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I thought it did.
It was right after Titanfall kind of came out of nowhere.
I wish Titanfall came out of nowhere. Titanfall, you people have disappointed that franchise. That franchise should have been bigger than Call of Duty.
It should have. That franchise was great. And I was actually really, really good at that. And it makes me sad that it didn't take off better.
I remember that because Titanfall came out and everyone was like really all over it. And then this one came out of nowhere. And the only reason it came on my radar is because it was like a paid sponsored thing they wanted us to do. And I started playing and chopping around to get some people to kind of come around. And I was like, wow, this is really good, you know? Because I completely slept on the first one. And number two was a lot of fun. I remember, dude, it was a really good game, you know?
The first Garden Warfare was 2014, and Overwatch was 2015. Is that third game on EA Access?
It is. It ended Access like 2 months ago.
Huh.
Yeah. So you can play it for free.
Do you guys still pay for EA Access?
Yeah.
I do. It's totally worth it. It's like $25.
For the year?
$25 for the year, and you get the 10% discount on the EA games. And then they basically, like, if you wait 6 months, that game is on EA Access. So.
Yep. And any of the sports franchises.
So Battlefield's on there and everything.
Yep.
I think NHL just got added to it this month.
Normally it's like around when their season ends.
Yeah.
They put it up.
Oh, you guys noticed they talked about Madden 21, but they didn't show Madden 21 next gen?
Oh, that's stupid. But yeah, you're right.
And I think they showed the original Madden.
Yeah, they didn't show Madden. Again, I know EA is doing their own showcase, and I'm pretty sure they're going to announce the Star Wars trilogy games now from Respawn. That should be a no-brainer, right? Everyone should know that game's getting a trilogy. Like, Respawn's, like, they're giving it two more. Because, you know, Star Wars and trilogies are a thing.
That game was good enough that I can see them making more.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time out, and they're only going to get better from here. You know, I haven't played it myself. I've seen plenty of people play it, and I've read enough criticism of the mechanics. But
of the mechanics, for sure.
I was like, it's a first time out, and Respawn gets it right. I mean, Titanfall 2 is fantastic, dude. You know? I'll say, like, have faith in any studio that's working for EA, you have faith in Respawn, you know?
Yeah. I think since you enjoy, Bloodborne and Dark Souls types games, you'd probably enjoy it a little more than Tony and I did.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. For sure.
Because
although Sekiro was like, oh man, I had to take a break. Like, it was kicking my ass.
I made it through Fallen Order, so it is not to the level of frustration that I find Dark Souls. So,
yeah.
And if I find Dark Souls frustrating, but you and Jeff can make it through that and Bloodborne, like, it's not anywhere near as difficult as Sekiro.
Yeah, so, like, look, I platinum Bloodborne. I've beaten all the Dark Souls. Sekiro, for some reason, the mechanics is not clicking, or it does halfway, or I'm not being creative enough. And, dude, it's like the moment you think you got the game figured out, it just kicks you in the balls, man. You know?
Yep. And Earl is up there. He's playing everything too. So we'll have more next week.
Anything with the pulse.
Yes. Anything you can get your hands on. So we'll have stuff next week. I don't know news wise if anything's breaking, because I think we had the big news this week.
Kind of had news this week. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't big. It was news.
Well, we were hoping it was going to be big, and it was just kind of like a wet fart. But
Have you guys discussed it on the podcast? Tony and Chris's refusal to grow facial hair with the rest of the team.
We have not, but they are refusing. So I think we should end the show the only way that's appropriate, and that is with a giant
moo. Moo, you guys, moo.
We got that out there.